Whether it's in Central Park, Stratford-upon-Avon, Stratford, Ontario, or at the open-air Globe Theatre in London, productions of Shakespeare are among the most popular summer events. But our classical music critic Lord Schwartz says you don't have to leave your house to see great Shakespearean acting and learn something about acting at the same time.
Nearly 25 years ago, I got a call from an old friend who was very excited about a British TV series called Playing Shakespeare that was airing in New York. It didn't make it to Boston, and probably not to most other places. But my friend recorded one of the episodes and sent me the tape. I was blown away. The host was director John Barton, co-founder of the Royal Shakespeare Company, and the performers on that episode included Judi Dench. Nearly an hour was taken up with Barton going over a short scene, line by line, showing how crucial an understanding of Shakespeare's language and versification were to conveying the meaning and power of the scene. How rare it was to hear an intelligent discussion of literature and drama on television. Finally, a new label called Athena has just released a set of all 9 episodes of that 1984 series, and every one of them is a revelation. Among the actors participating in Barton's exploration of Shakespeare are Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart, Ben Kingsley, David Suchet, who's probably more famous in this country as Agatha Christie's Hercule Poirot than as a Shakespearean actor, and Dame Peggy Ashcroft in a rare television appearance. In each episode, they perform or recite a variety of scenes or passages from a Shakespeare play or poem. These British actors have honeyed tongues and impeccable diction. But then Barton starts asking them to think about what Shakespeare actually wrote, down to his meter and line breaks. Since the plays are written in verse, in a heightened language, should an actor make the performance more stylized or more naturalistic? What if one speech ends in the middle of a line of iambic pentameter, and another character continues where that line left off? Does that indicate a pause or a rush forward? It's also fascinating to watch two actors approach the same character. There's a memorable sequence in which both Patrick Stewart and David Suchet play Shylock. Suchet, who mentions that he is Jewish, feels that Shylock's Jewishness is central to the part. He plays the moneylender with a slightly Jewish inflection. Stewart, who isn't Jewish, feels the center of Shylock's character is his greed and downplays his Jewishness. Here's Stewart.
Well then, it now appears you need my help. Go to then. You come to me and you say, Shylock, we would have monies. You say so. You that did void your room upon my beard and foot me as you spur a stranger cur over your threshold. Monies is your suit. What should I say to you? Should I not say, have a dog money? Is it possible a cur can lend 3,000 ducats? Or should I bend low and in a bondman's key with bated breath and whispering humbleness say this? Oh, fair sir, you spat on me on Wednesday last. You spurned me such a day. Another time you called me dog. And for these courtesies, I'll lend you thus much monies.
And here's Suchet.
Well then, it now appears you need my help. Go to then, you come to me and you say, Shylock, we would have monies. You say so, you, that did void your room upon my beard, and foot me as you spurn a stranger cur over your threshold. Monies is your suit.
What should I say to you?
Should I not say?
Hath a dog money?
Is it possible a cur can lend, 3,000 ducats? Or shall I bend low and in a bondman's key with bated breath and whispering humbleness say this? Fair sir, you spat upon me Wednesday last. You spurned me such a day. Another time you called me dog. And for these courtesies, I'll lend you thus much monies.
Good. Both actors resist the common temptation to sentimentalize Shylock. maybe because Barton has directed both of them in this part before. They couldn't be more different, yet both of them still convey the same hurt, anger, and irony that are at the heart of this role. My favorite episode remains the one my friend sent me. It's a brief scene from Twelfth Night with Judi Dench as Viola, who is in love with the Duke Orsino, played by Richard Pascoe, but who has to hide her love because she's disguised as a boy. John Barton stops the actors at almost every line, and after every interruption, the characters and their motivations take on another new dimension. When we finally watch the scene all the way through, we're no longer watching acting. The actors have become almost transparent, and through them, it's the characters, the story, the action, the play that compel us. Here's a clip of the radiant final take of that scene from Twelfth Night.
My father had a daughter, loved a man. As it might be, perhaps, were I a woman, I should, Your Lordship.
And what's her history?
A blank, my lord. She never told her love. But let concealment, like a worm i' the bud, feed on her damask cheek. She pined in thought, and with a green and yellow melancholy, she sat like patience on the monument, smiling at grief. Was not this love, indeed? We men may say more, swear more, but indeed our shows are more than will. For still we prove much in our vows, but little in our love.
Died thy sister of her love, my boy?
I am all the daughters of my father's house. And all the brothers, too. And yet, I know not.
If you're interested in Shakespeare, in poetry or in theater, I think you'll be completely mesmerized by this series. And I'll leave the last wise, sensible words to John Barton.
Shakespeare is his text, and the way he uses it is just that. So if you want to do him justice, you have to look for and follow the clues he offers. If an actor does that, then he'll find that Shakespeare himself starts to direct him.
Lloyd Swartz is classical music editor of the Boston Phoenix and teaches English at the University of Massachusetts Boston. He reviewed the 4-DVD set called Playing Shakespeare on the Athena label.